Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
WEEI, Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson, and a beautiful day at Fenway Park. We are here at the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fun Radio Telethon. $3.6 million already donated. And what a great day and a half we have had so far. By the end of the day, we're on the way to hopefully set a record.
I feel like just these numbers have been going faster today, feels like a little bit.
There's no question. Yesterday. Oh, my good. Oh, there we go. Got to get the headset
can
on.
I
so here's what's going
pull
on.
Pull her up and put her in my back pocket. Take her home. My goodness. Look at that.
If there is
angelic.
Like, oh, my God. This is just there's
there
nothing better than when you have little kids on the set and they just they got the headsets on the TV and this is great. So we have with us today Carson is Doherty. Am I saying okay?
Yes.
Carson Doherty, 5 years old, and a mother Casey.
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
Great. And Colin, the father. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry. Who is this right here?
This is what's your name?
Carson.
Oh, this is Carson. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
This is Carson. This is Peyton.
That's Peyton. Okay, my goodness. Two of the cutest kids I've seen in a long time.
She's the star over there, Carson.
You are a star, yeah. Carson. My goodness.
I love that dress and those in the shoes. It's the detail. And those socks, too. All of it. Oh, my goodness.
Now, Carson, when you say something, it sounds really cool in your headset. So why don't you say the silliest word you know? That does sound silly, doesn't it? And sometimes you can go like, blah, 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 and it sounds really good. Try that. Oh, my gosh. Boy, take that laugh and bottle it up. So Casey, tell me a little bit about your Jimmy Fund experience with Carson. If, you know, from the beginning to what brought you to the Jimmy Fund and your experience.
So what brought us to the Jimmy Fund was basically just an appointment out of the blue, out of checking all boxes, making sure that she was doing okay. She kind of had a little bit of a cold, nothing crazy.
Her symptoms didn't have a cold, I just had a stomach bug.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Her belly wasn't feeling good either. We kind of had
stomach bugs. I used to throw up every day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
right.
we
tried an apple with skin, and I did good today.
Yeah, her belly is a lot better now, thankfully.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So we ended up going into the ER. We went to a pediatrician appointment first, sorry, and she had called me, and she had said, I would like you to head into Boston Children's Hospital. We had an unexpected ER trip that turned into a 37-day stay there, and from there we went to the Jimmy Fund. And everyone had prepped us and told us that once you get to the Jimmy Fund, you get to the other side, you know, it's going to be way better over there than it is here. And it was. They picked us up off the floor literally multiple times.
Oh,
they were great to Carson. They took us all under their wing. And in a time that felt so isolating.
You got a wiggler here.
Yeah.
In a time that felt super isolating, they were like our family.
Oh, that's amazing. So Carson, what's it like showing up to the Jimmy Fun? What do they do that makes it fun?
The crafts and the kitchen toys.
Oh, wow. Tell me about those. Like, what are they?
What is, like, kitchen toys and there's, like, food in a kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Kitchen toys.
Do you cook, like fake food on the kitchen toys?
Yeah.
Oh, what's your favorite fake food to make? So when you go to the Jimmy Fund, Carson, like, is it, you know, your mom and dad, do you say, hey, I want to go to the Jimmy Fund? Is it a fun place?
Kind of.
Well, can you, you know what? What do you think? Like, how do your mom and dad act when you go there? Are they like super like excited for you, or what? Tell me a little bit about your parents.
They're like happy.
They're happy to see you happy, I'm sure. Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to get Carson out of there. She goes in there and she's having too good of a time.
I hate it, but like last month I hated it, but like I used to try when it's time to go home.
So I can see that. So you hate going in, but then once you get there, you're like, this is super fun. I don't want to leave.
Yeah, then at the end when mommy said, it's time to do it, I tried. And I said, please, one more minute.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Dad, Colin, what's this been like for you? You're going through this. I'm assuming there's other parents that you guys, consult with and talk to for support. Talk about it from your perspective as parents.
Yeah, it's really something you can't prepare for. You see it around you, and you always think of it from the outside looking in, like, that's so unfortunate, but you never expect it to be you in that situation.
Yeah.
And so when it was us, we really rallied around the community in there.
Yeah.
And especially her care team brings you in like family.
Yeah.
It really is a family environment. We have some funny stories. I know Casey going there all the time of them really taking you in, and they make you feel like you're the only patient there.
Yeah.
And it's been a great experience.
That's a great way to put it, I think. Do they give you the sense that you're the only person they've seen that day kind of thing?
Absolutely.
That's awesome. And I got to ask real quick, just left tackle back in the day? right tackle?
I was DN.
Tight end. Okay, close. All right. I knew it was one of those edge positions on offense or defense. All right, very good.
So Carson, like, tell me about your nurses. What do they do that's fun? Do they make it fun when you go in?
Sometimes they give me prizes.
They give you prizes? What kind of prizes?
I don't know. Sometimes Play-Doh.
Oh, wow. How about slime? Do they have slime there?
Yeah.
Oh, slime can get messy, can't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you like the slime?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. The messier, the better, right?
Sometimes Ted and I have sand.
Oh, in sand? Oh, my gosh. So,
and Barbies. And sunglasses.
Barbies and sunglasses? Wow, this doesn't sound like a hospital.
She's got a lot there, huh?
And decorate sunglasses.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So, as a parent, we talk a lot about how sometimes you go to the doctor and it's just the parents, and it's not really a real relationship. It's different at Dana-Farber, isn't it? Like, they follow up, and like, it's more like a, you said, family. It feels like that, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
It really does.
Even our attending doctor, Dr. Jonathan Paulino, is unbelievable. He's called off hours. I think it was a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
To check in on her. And so I'm talking to him on the phone. And she hears, and she's like, let me say hi. And she grabs it and hits FaceTime before I could even stop her.
Wow.
And we were horrified. Like, you can't FaceTime your doctor. He picks right up right away. He's like, hey, Carson, just FaceTiming on a Saturday morning. So that's what the environment's like there.
Yeah.
you like taking the phone and pressing that button, right?
Only once.
She's the perfect co-host for you.
We can do a podcast again.
Seriously.
You and me, Carson. It'll just be making funny noises. How about this? I'll do a funny noise and you do a funny noise. You ready? Okay.
There you go. Perfect go for Rich.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Carson, you are the best. Is there anything you want to say to the people who want to help out the hospital and help out the Jimmy Fund? What would you like to say to them right now?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
Thank you for chemo.
Thank you for chemo?
Chemo.
Oh, chemo. Oh, thank you for chemo. That is awesome. What about all the cool toys and stuff that they do there?
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, for those cool toys.
That's awesome. Well, I don't know what to say. This is like such a cool, like, yeah. I mean, your daughter is
stole
just
the show today.
She stole the show.
Stole the show.
And I've got to say that it's so cool hearing stories like yours. And it's amazing to me that there is a place with the Jimmy Fund that you're taking your child to get this treatment, but there's joy at the end of it. And I don't know how they do it. You've seen it, especially through really tough times, how someone can make a situation like that turn into a, I don't want to leave, I'm having a good time. What is it about them? What is the secret sauce? You've seen it from the inside out.
They must have to pass some crazy test work there, because the things they have done for us is like unbelievable, truly.
Yeah.
We've had situations of pants ripping, and they're like, oh, here, throw on these sweatpants, and I'll go sew them in the back for you. Like, they have...
Next level.
Exactly.
Next level.
Exactly.
Like, I will try when I get my... When they call me for the bath stuff, because I like really want to play, and especially when I just started.
Well, awesome, Carson. Well, thank you so much for coming in Listen, anytime you want to co-host with me on the show,
seriously,
we'll do a show together. What do you say?
Okay.
What do you think about the Red Sox?
Okay.
Yeah, you like the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you like to say to them today to get them pumped up? Do you want to tell them anything like go team?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yes, you do. All right. Well, we'll do a lifestyle podcast about that. Thank you so much for coming in. It really means a lot. And it's stories like yours and Carson's that get that number to where it is. So we really appreciate it. And once again, if you want to donate, 877-738-1234. And Carson, say jimmyfun.org.
Jimmyfun.org.
That's it. That's where you go if you want to donate as well, at jimmyfun.org. Thank you, Carson. You're the best. Oh, yeah, fist bump. All right, we will be right back.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Shirtleaf, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson.
Stole my heart, Carson. Stole my heart.
She stole
man.
My seat. God, she's more entertaining than I am by a mile.
She is, wow, she is an upwardly mobile. She's going places, that little girl.
No
There's
doubt.
No question. You know what? If you were with the Jimmy Fund, put her in every ad. Put her on every, I'm telling you.
For reals. You that girl, marketing genius right there.
She is a star. All right. Well, listen, it's people like her that you're helping out when you donate. And right now we're at $3.6 million. And let's keep it going, baby. Let's set a record. 877-738-1234. You can also go to jimmyfund.org or text to give any amount. KCancer 56512. And you know what is so great about this telethon is that it's not just about the huge donations that, you know, people come in, and it's so great. Well, we have companies doing that, and the people like the Hales who did the match for $1 million. It's awesome. But it's also stories like this. We got a call just a couple of minutes ago, and on the phone with us right now is Kimberly Saley. And Kimberly is doing something right now along with her family to raise money here for the Jimmy Fund. Kimberly, thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about what you got going on right now.
Sure. Thank you for having me. So I live in Reading, Massachusetts, and my kiddos and their best friends are out selling flowers that we planted all summer. We're selling them 100% of the flower proceeds go to our annual walk. We've been walking. This is our 21st year, my kiddos' second year walking, in the annual Jimmy Fund walk, which will be on Sunday, October 4th this year. And over the course of 21 seasons, we've raised close to $130,000.
That is unbelievable.
Wow. And we
selling
dedicate
flowers
our
right now?
Right now, right outside. We're having a lemonade stand, peach sale. We have a peach tree and flowers and friendship bracelets.
Oh, wow. Okay, so let me know the location so the people listening can know where you are right now.
Sure.
Kimberly, give me the location of your Jimmy Fund bracelet sale and lemonade. Where can people find this?
We're at 337 Haverhill Street in Reading, right across from Killam Elementary School.
Excellent. Awesome. And so up to this point with your walk, you and your family have raised, you said, $130,000 for the Jimmy Fund?
Yep, over the course of 21 seasons.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Kimberly, what is it about the Jimmy Fund that's personally affected you? Why did you get involved?
So about 20 years ago this August, my grandfather and best friend died of acute leukemia, and I was driving through Harvard Square in his truck one day, and I heard an ad for the Jimmy Fund Walk, and I was like, I'm going to do that, and I haven't stopped walking since. So it's just something I really love. It's a great way to contribute to the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber, and I love that I've gotten my whole family involved as well. And this year in particular, we're walking for my teammate's wife, Liz Carlson, who just went through 20 weeks of chemo for breast cancer at Dana-Farber, and my cousin, Angie Fowler Ford, is also battling breast cancer herself.
Well, Kimberly, this is so cool. I love the fact that you got the family involved. You guys are doing a lemonade stand. You can get are they homemade friendship bracelets? Is that what you said?
homemade friendship bracelets and beautiful bouquets of flowers.
Awesome. All right. Well, Kimberly, that is so great. Kimberly Saley, make sure you stop by her lemonade stand. Get yourself a friendship bracelet. It is going to the Jimmy Fund. We really appreciate it. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Kimberly.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it. Go Jimmy Fund.
Thanks. Awesome.
Thanks.
There you go.
That's the good stuff right there, man. That is awesome, awesome, awesome. And it's and you know the great thing about the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber is that you know when you listen to this that the money is going absolutely to the best place. And yep. and it's obviously you hope that you never have to see the other side of it. But once you're there, when you hear these stories, I still can't get over the fact that we have kids coming on here saying they can't wait to go get
right.
cancer
mm-hmm.
treatment.
Right.
You know, because it's scary, especially as a parent. You know, you're sitting here and you're looking at your kid and you're obviously upset because there's so many things about having cancer that, you know, definitely something can make you sad. You're like, you don't want them to miss out on what it's like to be a kid. But when you go to the Jimmy Fund, they do all of the things that keep it so you can still be a kid. You can still enjoy your time while you were there. We had one, the boy yesterday who, they ended up giving him him and a bunch of the other people, they went down to spring training and they got to meet Peyton Tolley and get to see, you know, so it's teens, it's children as well. And Carson's about to change the number.
She's going to change the number. I mean, doesn't that put it like these 2 days every year, put it in perspective, any problem in your life that you complain about all year, things we complain about and you know, on our talk show.
Oh, sure.
And it's just the bravery and just that word, perspective, that these 2 days bring.
I like that, though. I like that word, bravery. No, there's no question. You talk about a force of nature.
Yeah.
This little cute thing, Carson, way to go, honey. Good job. If you don't leave, I don't know. I worked these 2 days last year, and I felt better. And it does put it in perspective, Ken. You're absolutely right. I mean, the things that we bicker about, it's ridiculous when you can consider what these families have to go through really is. Real quick, you want to point at the volunteer?
We have to.
You got to point at the volunteer.
Okay, so let me say something, I said this yesterday. The unsung heroes of this entire thing have been our volunteers. They are working such long hours, and they're doing it behind the scenes, and we couldn't do this without them. I'm looking across from us right now, and we have the bank of people answering the phones at 877-738.
And real quick, before you describe the volunteer... Oh, sorry, I cut you off.
No, go ahead. Phone,
but they're like forming relationships with the people that call.
Yes.
Like they're not just trying to like get off the phone. They're like, oh, so you're going to the game today?
Yeah.
Oh, so where do you live? Oh, I used to live there. So anyway, now go ahead. Describe the volunteer.
No, it's been great. There is a volunteer with the greatest head I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't even know. Like it looks like. Somebody has made a hat that looks like the inside of Fenway Park.
Yeah.
But on the outside it has a bunch of baseball hats on it and a Sitgo sign on the top as well.
Yeah.
It is truly the best hat I've ever seen.
She's although in the zone too,
the Sitgo right? sign's down this year. Maybe she has to like black it out or something.
She's gonna write
for the season. Yeah.
She's gonna write whoop on the top.
Yeah. Real quick, forget my is ignorance on that. Is that a forever thing?
Or? No, they're raising it. They're like redoing it. It'll be back.
Oh, it's just a new sign they're gonna put.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't think it's time for the postseason run. We'll see.
I've always found it funny that like a company logo is like a thing that's tied so much to the city that you can't get rid of it.
The gas company logo.
right. Like how lucky are they that they put up a sign at just the right place where like Sitgo will always be remembered.
Yeah. That's true. I'm sure that sign's been there for
It's a historical decades. Landmark. Yeah, back to I think the 50s.
Yeah.
Earlier.
Yep.
That reminds me of something. I think it's important to acknowledge just real quick. That I learned earlier today that the Red Sox and the Jimmy Fund have had a partnership since, you say the 50s, since 1953.
53, yep.
Which, to me, is insane. And which, you know, we were talking with Caleb Durbin and Anthony Siegler earlier today, and those guys, it's amazing. And even Chad Tracy told us earlier that the opponents, the Diamondback players were wearing the shirts, right? Guys that play on different teams know about the Jimmy Fund because it's been so linked to the Red Sox for so many years that the opponents know all about the Jimmy Fund just by playing the Red Sox as many times as they have.
I think it's so cool. It started with actually going before that to the Boston Braves before they left and the Red Sox took it over, and it's Sidney Farber in the late 40s in a lab with two assistants when there were no cures for cancer. There was nothing. I mean, he was developing the first chemotherapies. And it was a radio show, Truth or Consequences, that Jimmy went on and his story generated $200,000. They were trying to get a TV for him to watch the Boston Braves.
Oh, wow.
And just like here we are 76 years later, still on radio, still generating money, and over $80 million raised in the 24 years of the telethon. But so much longer of a history going back, as you say, Ted, to Ted Williams and the Red Sox of the 50s. So it's so cool.
I've never seen anything like this. I mean, it's true. I mean, we're sitting here and it looks like funny money right now. It's $3.6 million we have gotten just since yesterday. And hopefully by the end of the day, we can set a record. But I mean, it just goes to show that everyone has been touched by cancer in one way or another. And that also the New England area knows how to rally around their own. It is just a great thing to see. And as I said, karma helped out the Red Sox last night, baby, because that was a good old-fashioned butt-kicking.
Well, I do wonder, like, every time this comes up, like, for the players, it's got to be emotional. You wonder if you'd be ready to play a game after meeting these kids and meeting the patients and being out there.
I think it's fuel, buddy.
Maybe it is.
I'll be honest, Ken, I think it's fuel. Those guys, they get more out of it than people realize, maybe more than they're willing to admit. You know what? They might say, hey, I'm going to go get a hit for you. Or I want to get a home run for you. So there's something about playing. I've played a game. I've dedicated a game to one of my absolute best friends growing up, passed away the night before I played in a game, and I went out and had probably the best game I ever had. So the emotion you get, it charges you when you you meet these kids and have an impact on seeing them happy. It only raises the game.
And where else but the Jimmy Fund Marathon can you have Anthony Siegler and Caleb Durbin completely agree with my cause du jour of getting rid of the interim tag?
Yeah, there was a pause there.
There was a long pause.
No, Tony Siegels had a good answer, but it took a while.
Tony was like, I don't know. Does he not get superstition? Like,
that pause was, I got to think about the most grandiose way that I can say, Rich, you are exactly right and have been right for the longest.
Well, Dan Shaughnessy backed you yesterday. He is vehement. They got to take that interim tag.
Really?
On Jones and Keefe.
Well,
so
if you got the backing of one Dan Shaughnessy, then I'm going all in on the story too. Then so
I'm gonna pretend you didn't say that. I love Dan. I love Dan, but I'll never forget that time when it was they had to just win that one game. It was the last game of the season, and it was a rain delay. And remember, he was sitting there. He goes, well, I mean, they're going to make it to the postseason. And then they end up losing. What year was that?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, God.
He jinxed the Red Sox.
Anybody remember that? He jinxed the Red Sox. It was the last game of the season.
Huh. They might have been 47.
They were ahead. Okay, this is crazy. It was like around like 12. Like, oh man!
Don't put that on Dan Shaughnessy.
It was the year that Francona was fired. I think that was it, right?
Okay.
It was the last game of the season,
I'll take
and then
your word
they ended
for
up losing. Okay, now I'm a rambling mess. But either way, it was the curse of Shaughnessy. He cursed him. So I'm gonna pretend I didn't hear you.
Well, that's all you got. Again. You got Shaughnessy and Buster Olney. Those are your two allies.
And Caleb Durbin and Anthony Siegler. Let's not overlook that.
Maybe.
No question. All right. You can give us a call and donate. 877-738-1234. Let's get that number out. Also, the JimmyFund.org. And you can text to give any amount. K-Cancer to 56512. We'll be back in a moment. I can already tell I'm going to love this interview. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted here on 93.7 WEEI, and we are raising a lot of money. This is such a cool thing to see. I love looking at this big board behind me for the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. $3,673. I've been here a lot. $3,673,000, $403,000, whatever. It's a lot. $3.6 million. And it's all because that people are listening to these great stories of the patients and the doctors and all of the people who are involved with the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber, and you are giving such an awesome amount of money to this great cause, and it has been fun to watch that number continue to grow as we've been sitting here. And the way to do it? You can donate this way by phone, 877-738-1234, or jimmyfund.org. Also, you can text to give any amount you want to. Just text KCANCER to 56512. And as I said, I'm looking forward to this interview already because I can tell they're ready to go.
We have some hams.
That's right.
Yep.
Melissa Rocheleau.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You are not only a registered nurse at South Shore Hospital, but you are also a breast cancer fighter survivor.
That's right.
And you have with us, who are these two wonderful people you have with us?
I have my son, Cole. He's 8.
What's up, buddy? There you go.
I'm the youngest.
And this is Alexis. She's six.
And Alexis.
Maybe even the flexiblest.
you're the flexiblest.
She is.
Is she very flexible?
I can do a front flip.
You can do a front flip. I would have you do it, but you have a headset on, and that wouldn't work out too well.
I can't do it. I can only do it on soft.
Oh, okay. And I'm sorry. What was your name?
Cole.
You were. I put my headset on, and I was like, oh my gosh, is there a monster in here? Can I hear that voice again?
There he is.
Well, listen, we're going to talk about your mom and how awesome your mom is right now. Does that sound cool?
Yeah.
What do you want to say about your mom? Anything you want to tell us about how cool she is?
She's so beautiful.
She's so beautiful?
She is. She is, yes, yes.
She saves like a million lives a year.
Her eyelashes are so big.
And her what?
And her eyelashes are so big.
She's so big.
Listen, I wish that at one point in my life someone could say that I saved a bunch of lives and that my eyelashes were really big. That would be the coolest thing I could hear. How does it feel to hear your kids say that?
It's honestly a little emotional.
I bet.
I feel like given the past year and a half, anything that they do, like, I'm a wreck. Like, you know, I'm so proud of them. They're such good kids, and they're amazing.
That's a testament to you, Mom, though.
Thanks.
I feel like when I read your story, it feels kind of like a common story in a sense. So, like, in how maybe you felt something was off and you took care of it. So can you just go back to when
Absolutely.
You found a lump and then decided to maybe go get it checked out?
Yeah, so it was February 2025, late February, and I was in the shower and I felt something and I was like, oh, okay, wow, that's different. All right, it's there, noted. I waited a few days and I was like, okay, it's still there. So honestly, that following week, I made an appointment with my primary care and she goes, okay, I feel something too. So next steps. So I had my mammogram at 35 years old, no history of breast cancer. Nothing. So I went, I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And, but like proud of myself because if it was something or if it was nothing, like I went to go get it checked out. So, it ended up being stage 2 invasive ductal carcinoma after a biopsy and the whole shebang. I ended up having a lumpectomy. And actually of note, there was 2 spots on my left breast that were there. One could not be felt at all by any physician.
Wow.
So it was the imaging and all the technology that found the second spot. But very early, I had my surgery. I had chemotherapy last summer. And then last fall, I completed radiation.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Did you bang the gong?
We rang the bell. They came with me. So they skipped, school on the last day of my radiation.
Oh, how cool.
And we rang that bell. Like it was.
How hard did you ring it? Did you go crazy?
Remember?
No school.
No school.
No school.
You guys went to school after.
But Mama, I was so mad I didn't go to school. I love school.
Well, the last.
You did go.
The last
you're the one.
The last day of school, I ran around the house. That's how excited I was.
Mama.
I had like a little break.
But remember, we rang that bell when Mommy was done with radiation?
Mama, remember when you rang the bell, you were crying.
I was crying.
Oh, sure.
Because it was very emotional.
And I was Mommy dancing right.
He was.
Yeah.
He was.
It
sounds
like. That's the chicken dance.
It sounds like, Melissa, though, you have a unique support structure around you. You have a sister that lives, is it next door?
Yeah, right next door. She's here with me today.
Sis is here?
Yeah,
oh,
she's
cool.
here. She's right there.
There you go, sis.
Yeah.
There she is. That's cool, huh? You live next to your sister?
It's great. Like, honestly, for the past 7-8 years, she's been my rock. Mm. And aside from my husband, she saw me on my highs and my lows. And just having someone there to support you and get you through those hard times, it was awesome.
Can I ask what it's like, you know, you being a nurse and you're helping usually people who are going through things, and then you find yourself on the other side of it?
Yeah.
Like, what is that like? Like kind of switching places?
Yeah.
And do you notice things more when
Absolutely.
You're, tell me a little bit about that.
Honestly, like the perspective shift, like I feel like it's the biggest of my life. I'm here every day I go to work and I feel like I'm pretty empathetic and caring and I really take time with my patients. But ever since my diagnosis, my treatment and everything, it's so different. And being on the other side, you know, getting labs drawn or, you know, them infusing medications into you or pinpointing radiation sites, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
And it takes me back. And since going back to work last fall, I take a little bit more extra time for that patient that might need something or questions they may have. And I really take the time because I went through something hard and people are going through something hard when they're sick or don't feel well. And it was a mind-blowing experience to be on the other side. And
what was it like seeing, I mean, so I got to think it's almost like a chef going to someone else's restaurant and seeing how the chef is. When you went and saw how the treatment and the care was at Dana-Farber, you know, you are somebody who's seasoned. Like, you kind of know what that's all about.
Absolutely.
What did you think when you first saw, like, how they treated you?
I mean, holy moly. Dana-Farber is top-notch, amazing. Everyone was so kind, intelligent, innovative. I could, like, go on and on, but it made me proud to be in the same field as these people and, like, helping people when they are at their lowest or their worst. So, I mean, Dana-Farber, I feel so lucky to live in this part of the country and have access to this kind of medical care. And I'm from the South Shore, so satellite locations for Dana-Farber, amazing. Like, I work at South Shore Hospital. I mean, honestly, last week I was at work and I had my, I get like a monthly injection. And after work, I just walked right across the street to Dana-Farber and was able to get my, so think about that. Like, so many access points. Like, no, I don't have to come to the city, but if I had to, 1,000%.
Yeah, it's the same. You get the same level of care and attention at any of these other smaller hospitals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my oncologist is primarily out of Chestnut Hill. He was at South Shore, but moved. So now I follow him at Chestnut Hill. Shout out to Dr. Philip Porvoo because he, my lifesaver, my, amazing. I could, I would get emotional talking about him, but the kind of care he provided, and he, I wasn't just a patient, I was a person, and he got to know me, he got to know my family, he asked me questions, he remembered things, and it was just the kind of care and support that you get from Dana-Farber is extraordinary. I feel so lucky.
Mama, if you're crying.
I am, honey. You know why? Because I'm so happy that I'm okay.
I'm happy that you're okay.
Thank you, baby.
Jeez.
I know.
I
was wondering. I was like, should I have them here? I don't know.
Best thing to have your kiddos here.
I know.
I might need to, like, turn the other way.
Yeah. Honestly, it's these two that that got me through everything.
Unbelievable.
Your son is like, yes, I did. He's
every little hard moment, it was them. And now I came out on the other side. I coach his soccer team. Honestly, during radiation last year, I was tired, but I coached his soccer team. It was phenomenal.
You coach my soccer team.
I am coaching your soccer team this fall. So busy. Busy mama coaching two teams.
You get sports.
My favorite coach.
We were the best team in the league.
Oh, you guys were?
Really?
We're number one?
Yeah.
Oh, attaboy.
We tied on two games, and we won every other.
How's your mom as a coach?
Good.
She good? Tough? Is she a hard coach? Is she tough on you guys?
She's an A+. She's a try.
A+.
She is tough, but, like, she wants you to have, like, fun and learn. And
the best kind of coach right there.
That's
tough,
pretty
but
awesome.
Fair.
Now, if a monster was sitting next to us and wanted to say something nice about his mom, what would that monster say?
In your voice.
Well, she is, like...
In your voice.
I don't know.
I heard you doing the monster voice before.
What's that?
There you go.
That's awesome.
I don't know how to do it.
You don't know how to do a monster voice? Okay, if the most flexible girl your age in the world wanted to say...
I could do a split.
I bet you could. If you wanted to say something about your mom and, like, just what a great mom she is, what would you like to say? What's something?
I love her so much.
None better.
Oh, thank you, honey.
Are you glad that she's got great doctors?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm happy that she's a nurse, because if I got injured, she would help.
You would know
well,
exactly
I got injured, like, about once, but that was a buccal fracture. But I don't know if I would count a spring as a... break, so.
Well, this is, I mean, it first of all, having kids like this, to the humor and to bring you through it, it's got to mean everything, doesn't it?
It means everything, and even in those hard days, their little jokes, their tickles, their giggles, it's like what pushed me up, and it's what kept me going, honestly.
And by the way, I want to send another shout out to your sister, because I know how important it is to have family who's there like every high, every low. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's lucky to have someone like that in your life. So
absolutely. Big shout out. Thank you so much. There. I appreciate that.
Melissa, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mama, good job.
You're crying.
I was crying. I'm not crying. I'm just very happy.
It looks like I'm thankful.
Maybe it's just the makeup.
But listen, Dana-Farber, the Jimmy Fund, amazing. Tell people, please donate. Please donate.
That's a great... You know, if there's anything that you two can say to get people to donate money to help people like your mom, what would you like to say to them?
Please feed my piggy.
Like,
please feed your piggy.
If you were in that situation and people weren't donating, you would want people to donate. That's so right. You should donate.
Absolutely.
That's right, because it could be anybody, right?
That's right.
You're helping people.
And feed her piggy.
That's right.
Right? Tell me about your piggy. What's your piggy?
I don't know, but I have a piggy.
She has a piggy bank, but it's not like a piggy.
Oh, man. I can keep you on all afternoon.
I really know. This is my piggy.
Love it.
All right, well, thank you, guys. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
I appreciate it.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good little snort there. All right, well, thank you so much for telling your story. And if you want to donate, you can call 877-738-1234. Hey, say, and jimmyfund.org.
And JimmyFun.org.
There we go.
Let's bring it in, everybody. 3.6 million. Let's keep it going. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and she's very flexible.
Go Red Sox.
We'll be right back. Right.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you. Yeah.
7 WEEI, Rich Shirton, Leave, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. A beautiful day out here at Fenway for the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. $3.6 million raised so far, and it continues to rise. I look up there, and it's nice. They're having some of the patients go up and their kids. By the way, how great have the kids been?
Unreal. You had some rock stars here.
Oh, I mean, totally. Like, you know, central casting needs to get these kids in movies quick.
Seriously.
It has been a great day as far as the money raised. Let's keep going. Let's try to set the record. And we are on our way there. So once again, the way you can donate, either go to jimmyfund.org or you can call us. We have a great bank of volunteers right across from us right now answering your calls at 877-738-1234. Or you can text any amount. You just text the word K-Cancer to 56512. And a gentleman we had on a couple weeks ago, boy, doesn't it seem like a million years ago when the World Cup was here?
It does.
I mean, what an awesome period of time. I mean, the streets were taken over by Scots and their tarps off, and they had the it was just a fun. It really helped. Between that and the Red Sox run, this has been one hell of a fun city to live in.
No doubt.
For the past several months. But Charlie Davies, our good buddy, Revs analyst, and also a survivor himself, is joining us here. Good to see you, man. It's awesome.
Great to see you guys.
Yeah, always good to see you. Always good to see you. First of all, how bummed were you that the U.S. got bumped like that?
Yeah, I was bummed. But when I was able to reflect on the whole experience this summer, I was moved.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, they put their heart and soul into it. No one really was expecting them to do as well as they did, and unfortunately I think they peaked in that first game.
Yeah.
But that first game was able to grab the attention across the country and get behind this team. So I think there are a number of boys and girls in this country that were so moved and inspired by this tournament, and more I'd say in particularly this team that you know, that's kind of the job, is to continue to grow the game and inspire kids around the country.
Well, I became a fan of Norwegian Gronk during the time.
Okay,
like, Erling was awesome. Erling, I still don't know, and I know who we talked to yesterday. Oh, yeah, one of the kids who plays soccer. I don't know why they kept him out in the last few minutes of that match. Like, I mean, Erling was like the best striker on the team, right?
Yeah.
They kept him out? I don't know. I guess I'll never get over that. But Charlie, you have an unbelievable story, because it was right in the middle of, you know, when you were playing, you got a diagnosis.
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I was playing, you know, after my car accident in 2009, you know, I was always trying to chase my old self once I recovered from that. And, you know, the doctors initially said, I don't know if you'll be able to run again, right? So I'm back on the field. I'm playing for my hometown team, the New England Patriots, and I'm trying to get back on the national team again. Yeah. You know, I missed out on that World Cup. So 2016, I felt like this is going to be a big year for me. I was the leading goal scorer for the Revs in 2015. In 2016, I'm like, I'm going to take that next step.
Yeah.
And a week before the season, my wife's water broke. We had twin boys at 25 weeks. And so, you know, next thing you know, I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Fortunately for us, we're in Boston, the best healthcare system. They're like, everything's going to be fine. She's going to be on bed rest for the rest of her pregnancy.
Yeah.
So I go to Houston, play the first game. I score. You know, I'm feeling good. But then going back and forth to the hospital, it was taking a toll. And then the boys came at 27 weeks and 5 days. So it was a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole unknown, you don't know if they're going to survive. And it was pretty scary in the first couple of weeks. But now you're just in this routine of just going to the hospital and supporting your wife and supporting your kids. And so my body naturally breaks down because I'm not taking care of my body after practice.
Oh, of course.
Ice baths. No, I got to get to the hospital. I'm not eating properly. And
tough
so,
to sleep, I'm sure.
100%. Yeah. I had slept in the hospital a couple of times. Oh. I had to sleep with a puffer because it was so cold. It was just. Oh. But I pulled my groin in a game about a month later. And so I went to get a scan, and that's when they found the tumor in my opposite leg.
Oh, wow.
So I always think the boys came early to eventually save my life. And
that's how I'd look at it, too, Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they didn't come early, then you don't stop doing the small things
right.
to keep you healthy. You don't get that groin pull. You don't get that x-ray. You don't get the diagnosis.
It's literally a divine intervention. It's almost that's how I have processed it, because the doctors always told me that I wouldn't have found that tumor until it got to the size of a grapefruit, most likely.
Oh, geez.
And then by that time, you know, it's the prognosis is not so good. So I caught it literally at probably the earliest stage you could catch that tumor.
Oh, so when you go and you find out about that, obviously that is something that you – we hear a lot of the patients going, not me. That's not something that would happen to me. This
right.
happens to other people. But when you get that, like, what was the way that you found yourself into a place where you got, the relationship you ended up having with your doctor, and it's so important, like the type of care that you got? Because it needs to be so personalized when you get to something that scary, you know?
Yeah, it was panic mode. I thought I had escaped death in that car accident, which I did. The doctor, the priest in the hospital told me, if you saw that car, most people don't survive. And I was taken in a helicopter.
That was 2009?
Yeah. I was taken in a helicopter, and I got to speak to the helicopter pilot after, who ended up coaching his girl's soccer team at the time. So he's like, I knew who you were when we arrived on the scene. And 98% of the people who fly in that helicopter don't survive. So here I am surviving and playing soccer. So I got to go back to the hospital and thank all of the doctors and the pilot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought nothing can get worse than that. I was at the top of my life. This was the peak of everything. I had one hand on the World Cup, and here I am now with another rock bottom situation. And I thought, because I had escaped death once, that was my get out of free jail card, that now it was going to happen. And I was thinking to myself, I'm not going to be able to be a father and see my kids grow and support my wife and all those, you know, scary thoughts that enter your mind at first. And so it wasn't until my brother-in-law said, hey, you should go to Dana-Farber. They are the best. They're the absolute best. Have a second opinion. Because I was going to rush to get my surgery done at Mass General.
Yeah.
So initially I take that step, you know, I was so moved to just get the surgery and be done and try and play. My brother-in-law said, hey, this, you only get one life.
Yes.
You want to do this right.
Well, yes.
There's no need to rush.
Yep.
So I go to Dana-Farber. I sit down with Dr. Wagner, my doctor there in the sarcoma department, and he made me feel just so confident in their healthcare system and their knowledge and how they're going to deal with it. And you know, I had my full body scan on a Friday. All I could think about was that they caught a piece of a tumor, but it's metastasized, or the main tumor somewhere else in my body. So that's the only thing I was thinking. So I did this full 2-hour scan. I remember all the equipment on me. I was sweating. It was tight. And I was thinking the whole weekend, it's probably all over my body. But in that scan, you know, you have a mirror so you can see the text.
Yeah.
There was about 10 texts that came into the room, and they're all pointing. And I'm thinking to myself, this is probably within the first. I get in the car and I said, I don't think this is good. And my wife's like, it's going to be okay. And I said, no. There were 10 texts in there. There's no way that they were, that's not normal.
Yeah.
So the phone rings. I'm pulling out of the driveway at Dana-Farber. It's my doctor. He's like, hey, Charlie, how you doing? I know it's Friday. I wanted to give you the news before so you don't have to think about it. The scan is all clear.
Oh, jeez.
I said, what? There were 10 texts. They go, oh. They were staring at your groin pull.
Oh.
They were talking about the groin pull, the significant groin pull you had.
Okay.
What do you do after that?
There's
a lesson
there. You just go like, all right, we're taking that vacation we always wanted to take. At that point, it's like you got to felt like you were almost like, you know, in the jaws of a shark.
Yeah.
And then somehow you got out. You're free.
I could see that. My brain would have gone to the same thing, but they're all just pointing at Charlie's groin.
Look at that groin.
Blood there, the muscle tears.
Not the cancer, the groin.
So what did you? This is such a dumb question, but what did you do like right after that? Like when someone tells you that, you went through such a mood swing, like from being I'm in the worst position ever to oh my god, I can't believe this is it. It was I'm clean.
I think for the initial moment, it was, I get some time. I it's not immediate, you know, because I was still thinking there's a chance of reoccurrence, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You still got to get past the first year and the second year, really. And after the second year, the chances of reoccurrence dramatically drop. But for the moment, I was like, I still have some time on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we got to go back to the hospital to see the boys anyway.
So, yeah,
you know, you're still in this survival mode.
Yeah.
But, man, what a relief.
Yeah.
What a relief. I was filled with, outside of joy, there was a gratitude, but it was more of an appreciation for how thoughtful the doctors were in that situation.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to say, all right, your scan's Friday. We'll get to you on Monday. We'll give you a call.
Yeah, yeah. But for them not wanting you to stress.
I don't want you to stress.
I want you to know that that's something that has happened. Like, with my wife, we've gotten that before. Like, you know, she like got a call. Matter of fact, she got a call on Thanksgiving Eve when everyone's like pretty much leaving. And she had taken a scan and was terrified. It was like, I want you to know immediately. And by the way, her doctor called her from the airport. He was about to go on vacation, but he got the results when he was at the airport and called her to let her know.
Think about that dedication. And Ted, to even bring more context to the situation, so my wife was treated by the Jimmy Fund in seventh grade. She had Hodgkin's lymphoma, stage 4, and did the chemo and radiation 6 months, still would go to school, and never wanted to talk about it. It was so scarring for her. And so now I have to call her while I get the news. While I was on my way to practice, the doctor called me and told me that it actually came back as cancerous on the biopsy. That, hey, I know you're at the hospital with the boys, but here's the news. So that was the added, the pain in that whole situation.
I'm sure. There's people out here that want to know the boys when they're, you know, came early. How are they now? They're 10 years old.
Oh my God.
And how are they doing now?
they're thriving.
Good.
10 years old. They're little soccer and lacrosse players. They play for Laxachusetts. they play for the club I coach, New England Force, down in the South Shore. And they are happy-go-lucky boys. We couldn't be more fortunate and blessed.
Your life is a movie. You know that, right?
It really is.
Yeah. I always, you know, I got the opportunity to write this summer, for 6 months at least, for the New York Times and The Athletic.
Yeah.
So I'm writing all these articles, and I'm like, I never thought in a million years I'd be writing articles. And I'm like, I got to write a book.
Yeah.
But I feel like my life's always changing and there's curveballs. Like
it hasn't ended. The story hasn't ended.
Yeah, when is the story done?
It doesn't have to end. Like, no. At this point, there's enough. Yeah. Trust me, there's enough, dude. You've lived enough.
I can relate to that, though. I understand how he's thinking there. That is, the story's still going. When do you write a book where the story feels like there's not a natural ending yet?
I know I've told you the same thing. I don't throw that out easy. I don't. But, like, literally, I'm sitting next to two people whose lives could both be books.
Let's write books.
You're still running your race.
Yeah. Still running my race. Let's write our books, though.
Well, Charlie, thank you for coming on and telling that story. I mean, it's I know that is like, I knew your backstory, but I to be honest, it's like hearing it again is just, it really, it does go to show just how sometimes, you know, you can go through these things. And I love the way that you put it, you know, your boys saved your life.
100%. And I have to thank the community because it was a number of little instances of support that allow you to get over it. So right when the diagnosis happened, the first phone call I received was Mr. Kraft. So Robert Kraft called me, then Jonathan Kraft, right? And then, you know, it starts trickling down of who finds out. And then, you know, my teammates, the New England Revolution supporters, just sports fans in general in this area were there for me. And it really makes a difference.
That's so awesome. So Robert Kraft, first one to call you.
Yeah.
That's very great. Cool.
Yeah.
Can you call him back and tell him to get this Gonzalez contract?
Wait, for sure.
I kind of want a good corner this year. I mean, they did go to the Super Bowl last year. They are a good team. All right, Charlie Davies, great stuff.
Thanks,
you can hear him obviously great doing season, the calls man. For
Thank
the Revolution.
You.
And we love having you on. We got to have you on more often. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted. And you could donate right now. We are at the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, 877-738-1234. Also, jimmyfund.org. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.